Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you. All right. So, hey, friends, I'm Lee Brown, and welcome back to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, which is probably your favorite podcast, let's be honest. And you should probably tell a friend because they might be stuck listening to some boring pitch for some crap somewhere or somebody droning on and on about things that are very confusing to the general public. And frankly, we like to talk about funny things and wild things and sometimes sad and heartfelt things because real estate's this giant emotional process, whether you're buying a commercial building or investment property, it's really kind of cool. And realtors get addicted. They never retire. But if they do quit the business, they never look back. And it's hilarious. So today I'm bringing y'all a brand new guest. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So tell our people a little bit about yourself, where you're located, what you do around real estate. Give them the tiny little backdrop of how a bald-headed man with a really full beard winds up talking about crazy shit in real estate.
Well, when I started real estate, I was a man with a really big head of hair and no beard. So now I have transformed. It's evolved. I live in Northern Virginia. I live in Clifton, Virginia. My brokerage that I affiliate with is in Keller Williams Realty in Falls Church, Virginia. I've got a beautiful daughter, Maggie. She's 9 years old. And my wife, Tracy, and a dog, Ellie. And a cat beer and a lot of cat prints.
You're an island in a sea of estrogen, but maybe one cat's a male. Is that right? Is that
what I'm saying? Me and my boy Prince, we hang out together.
There we go. And you're a Nats fan?
Oh, I am. I am a Nats fan. I'm a, I'm a Washington, D.C.er, I guess.
Are you having a really hard time right now? Because we're recording this, of course, in the middle of the pandemic and we don't have baseball. And I'm every day dying a little more inside, not being able to watch baseball.
You know, when they canceled the NBA season, that was when we knew it's like, okay, this is real. Or at least that's when that was the second that this like sort of sunk into my head was NBA's canceled. I was like, what? And then I realized, okay, this is no joke.
They're going to mess with baseball next. Holy crap.
Yeah, I know it.
All right, Dan. So the rules of crazy shit in real estate are pretty fairly simple. You can say anything you want except for real names. Always replace it with somebody else so only they know when they're the guilty party. And then I love salty language, but I can't handle GD or F-bombs. And so see you next Tuesday is obviously just not worth using. And you know this because of the household you live in. That word's probably not allowed. So in your time in real estate, and you probably deal with some pretty interesting people. Northern Virginia is, of course, one of the most interesting real estate markets because it's somewhat insulated from the changes the rest of the country goes through because you have so many politicians nearby, which means you have to have a really strong stomach, I would guess. So tell us about what you encounter doing real estate in that part of the world.
Well, yeah, D.C. is or Northern Virginia. I mean, we're insulated. We're isolated. Our economy is awesome. And I always say if our economy is the federal government. So if we go out of business, the entire world is screwed. You know, we're fortunate to have a resilient business of the United States federal government. So that's a really good thing. You know, I've been selling real estate since 2007. And, you know, when I was preparing for this, I thought originally I was like, okay, what crazy stories do I have? And I thought I had none. And then I started thinking, I was like, holy crap. Like, I can't believe
every day.
That is the truth. So as I was preparing this, I thought, okay, where we go funny, whatever. You know, I was thinking about really just sort of the craziest, which is not a happy one. So I remember this was years ago when we had the telephones, you know, like the actual office phones before we lived off of these. Yeah, you've got yours right there. I sleep with mine now. I saw one of those payphone thingies the other day and I picked it up. It was not working.
Oh, I was glad it was operational.
Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness, ancient.
You're like, come here, baby girl, look at this. People on these.
She's like, where's the friend? Where do I see the other person? So I was thinking about which story to share with you today. And I remember that we were in our office and we had those, you know, old time phones. And I remember the phone was ringing. I never answered the phone because it's never for me. And if it is for me, somebody else can answer for it and then, you know, they'll take care of it. So I answer the phone. It's like 5:30 in the evening. And when I answer the phone, the lady on the other end was a seller that I had been prospecting for like 2 years. And I finally set an appointment with her and she called me. She says, I have to cancel the appointment. And I was like, okay, well, you know, no problem. You know, can we reschedule? You know, what's going on? She said, my husband just killed himself yesterday.
Oh.
So I remember speaking with her for like an hour and a half. And I was sitting there thinking, I was like, what caused me to answer this phone? And, you know, how did this happen? Yeah. Yeah. It was a higher calling on that day. And I remember like absolutely nothing to do with real estate. It's like, I needed to be the one to pick up that phone and listen. You know, that's what occurred that day. I remember I lived in this townhome with my wife. I don't think my daughter was born at the time. And so I remember going home and just sitting on the couch, just emotionally drained. And I just cried, right? Like just boom. You know, so I would say that's probably one of the, you know, one of the things that popped in my head when I was preparing for your show today.
And I love that you share that because, I mean, we obviously, a lot of people go in the direction of the porn and the sex and all that stuff, but
I think you had enough porn and sex, right? Come on.
I mean, you know, after coronavirus, I'm pretty sure most people need a break from that. And so if you really think there's something you don't expect about real estate, it is that often we do this work and it's with no expectation of getting paid on the other end, because it's not about the sale. It's not about the commission. It's about the needs of that human. And she called in not just to cancel. She probably called in because somebody was going to answer, because people do know that realtors will answer the phone. And we've all had that client that tells you far too much, but you're relationally good generally, and you're a safe place to talk. And we do inherit their emotions, and you position that so well, because it's the same thing when you're showing property. You're up. And then you get home and you're like, oh my God, I was trying to do the right thing for them all day and it's draining. And then you were trying so hard to be what she needed at that time. And you put in the work. People always want to know why realtors get paid what they get paid. It's because we're working when we're not working, and we're not working.
It's entirely, I mean, you got it right, Lee. It's the emotions that you leave on the field. It's the every ounce of spirit, of energy, you know. It's, so I worked as a professional waiter before I sold houses. And I thought that was a, high five on that, right? And I thought that was, it was grueling. I was talking to one of my waiter friends, waitress friends. She's out in Arizona now. And I was talking to her the other day, and she's still doing it. And this was 15 years ago. And I thought that, you know, it was tough waiting tables. And it was physically on my body. And certainly if like there's a plumber listening to this right now or watching this, then they're going to be like, okay, you know. True you, right? But it was, you know, it was draining. But working in real estate, it is emotionally, it is brain taxing. It is so much harder than anything I've done in my entire life, and including the military. You know, it's just something that it takes every ounce of everything you have. Really does.
I've often described it as like the reason realtors don't get disintermediated. And it's always a big question. Consumers are like, why do y'all keep getting paid? Why are you even still here? We have technology.
Sure.
Well, it's because in every scenario, you've got a buyer, and the buyer's got emotional needs and changes. And then they have parents and friends and outside influences and lenders and appraisers and inspectors and all this stuff. And then you've got a seller. And the seller's got emotional things and changes going on, and kids and parents and lenders and the next house and the next place. And they've got all the stuff going on. And the person in the middle is the realtor. And it's an emotional roller coaster, because it's so exciting to buy a house. Then you get under contract and the stress is here, and it's exciting to sell a house. And then you're like my seller today, who's texting me. She's like, holy crap, they're all looking at it. And I'm like, I know, this is great. Stay out of the house. And she's like, here, because they're all in her house. And it's, and who's the one in the middle? It's us. And an app can't do that. An app can't adapt. You had to adapt on the fly, from answering the phone with, hey, this is Dan with Keller Williams, how can I help you, to go ahead and talk, baby, it's all right.
Yeah.
As long as you need, you had to flip for her.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. I'm in go mode. And then it's like, no, it's not go mode. It's just listen.
It's a different go.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it's just listen, be empathetic. And so, you know, just be a sounding board. And, you know, that's an extreme example of what we do. And you're completely correctly about the, you know, like the, an app will never replace that intermediary. They'll never be able to, you know, it's like the technology can make our jobs, you know, so that we can provide a higher level service. But just, you know, as you know, just finding a home online or finding a home on a search, right? Like that's not the hard part. right? The hard part is, you know, 3 days before closing and the underwriter comes with all these free requests and you have to keep hold the deal together. Or, you know, when the coronavirus hit, I had a closing the day before the closing, the buyer comes and says, hey, I'll still buy the house. We were representing the seller if they come $20,000 lower. Now, it was clear to close at that point, right?
Like just because, right?
Just because, right? And you know, and so, and we got that to close in a few days late because they had to redisclose in the lending piece. But we got the closing and we didn't, you know, our seller didn't give up a dime. You know, and it takes somebody with skill to be able to, you know, to hold something like that together.
But, you know, that's a scenario, too, that it sounds like it's a negotiating moment. And I always feel like as realtors, we're more of mediators because the buyer's decision to ask for less, what it could have been a cultural thing because that happens in some cultures. And it could have been the, oh, there's a new fear in the marketplace. I want to take advantage of that. And then your seller's got the money spent in their head. And now they're thinking emotionally, what if the buyer's right and we're crashing as a market? Should I take it? And so you've got wildly fluctuating things. And realtors see the emotion, acknowledge the emotion, then help people. Let's come back down and let's talk here. And I love to reference us as being professional problem solvers because what we're paid for is to take all the wild things and solve it. And it's different.
Get it together, yeah. And you're right. And the other thing about being in Northern Virginia is it is a mixing bowl of culture. And so you have to be aware of a negotiating culture. You have to be aware of, you know, of different backgrounds of people, of how that makes, you know, something that works for this person not work for this person, and figure out how you can, you know, accommodate both at the same time as bringing them forward to for their best, you know, for the best serve them.
Yeah, because you go back to the emotional thing, and when we start talking about working out prices on a house, one buyer brings in a different number than another one, not because they're being ugly and not because they're being rude and they're not trying to steal it, because culturally they expect to negotiate and haggle. And then if the other party is from a different culture that says, well, that's offensive, we get to say, no, breathe, because people approach things differently. And again, it's those things that you never could expect this when you first get into real estate, because you don't see this on HGTV. You don't see this on your family, and you certainly don't see it in the member of the general public, because realtors are masters at hiding how hard we work. And I think we have to fix that as a profession. People need to know this is a hard and very rewarding business, but boy, it's hard.
It's emotionally hard, not Alaskan king crab fisherman hard, but just an ounce behind that.
But they get to eat really well. I mean,
that's, hey, all right.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Dan, maybe this is why there's such a high percentage of top producing realtors who came from a service background of waiting tables or bartending. Because those of us that worked in waiting tables, remember the turnover in that business is months. It's way higher because not everybody can handle a full section on a Saturday night full of people that are going to run your ass off while you're in the weeds. And you have to be like, y'all going to have to be chill for a minute. And then you have to smoke because it's the only chance to get a break in the back. And you got to beg the kitchen for free stuff that you forgot to ring up. And I mean, all of our negotiating skills really come out of the kitchen. Maybe I should write a book about this.
I think so. And managing, because it's never, it's like if the steak goes back to the kitchen, the first thing the chef wants to do is bitch you out. You're like, look, just give me a new steak. So I'm here to solve a problem, just like a real estate agent.
Butterfly, make it well done. Give it to somebody else. Give me a new one, please.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Man, I mean, I don't miss those days, but they were the best. I learned more waiting tables than I did in college.
I think that's probably accurate for me as well.
Hey, so what branch of the military did you serve in?
Army. Yeah. It went right out from high school. I graduated high school in June of 1991. And then by August of 1991, I was at boot camp.
So did you ever get to serve here at Fort Bragg in Fayetteville, North Carolina?
No, not Fort Bragg. The closest to Fort Bragg was Fort Stewart, Georgia. A little bit south of you there.
That's a hot base down there. Like humid and hot.
It was a little bit, that wasn't my favorite. I love Savannah, Georgia. Savannah, Georgia is one of my favorite cities in the world. It's beautiful. Fort Stewart, I could go without.
You did your time, right?
That's right. I did my time.
Well, thank you for choosing to serve.
My pleasure.
Because I know it's welcome. A choice. I always appreciate people that make it a choice and don't. My daddy's always pointing that out because he was drafted in Vietnam and he's like, I wasn't going to choose that. Let's be honest.
My dad volunteered in Vietnam just to avoid, so he could choose his MOS or his job.
That's right? Pretty smart.
Yeah, because he's like, you know what? He had a low lottery number. Like, they're taking me anyways. So he just joined before they drew him, before they said go. So that way you can have a little more control over it.
All right. So, Dan, if somebody's looking for a realtor in Northern Virginia who has a history of obviously serving his country, so he must be a reasonably patriotic American, and he's a devoted dad and husband with a house full of women plus Prince the Cat, and he waited tables, so obviously he can multitask like a champ, and he will sit on the phone, let you cry on his shoulder before he cries on his wife's shoulder, how can they find you?
Well, I'll tell you what, if I can handle those women, I can handle real estate.
I mean,
you can find me on Facebook, Dan Roshan. You can visit our consumer website, www.greetingsvirginia.com. I did write a book, so you can check this out on Amazon, Real Estate Evolution. And that's a 10-step guide to CPI, which is consistent predictable income for real estate agents.
And it's okay. I mean, as usual, I know that y'all sat here entertained highly and didn't write anything down and you barely glanced at this book, but it's okay because read your caption, read your show notes. There's a link to buy his book and all of his contact information so y'all can reach out if you have needs in Northern Virginia and go buy his book because it's got to be a good one. And this next one I will pick up. Dan, thank you for coming on the show and for sharing a little deeper side to real estate. I appreciate that you brought some depth to the program today.
I love that you make it fun.
Hey, that's our job. It's a fun business. It's rewarding.
Thanks.
All right, guys, if you want to be on the show and you think that you're even more amazing than Dan and you just have something you've got to tell, at Lee Brown on Twitter, any of the social networks, raise your hand. You might show up over here on Crazy Shit. Meantime, subscribe, 5 stars, and we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.